Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read, verses 24 through 28. We'll take that portion out of the entire parable that Jesus used. Instead of reading all those verses, it wouldn't hurt us to read it, that's for sure. But for sake of time, we'll cut out to 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28. All right? We need to read that much to at least get the last portion read of this parable and then speak from it for just a little while to you this evening. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And we're going to begin reading, as I said, verse 24. You please join me on those odd verses, 25 and 27. And then we'll have a special and get into the message. Verse 24, Jesus speaking now in the parable, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please speak to our hearts tonight. God, help us as we prepare for the beginning, the resuming of a very important ministry, the Sunday school ministry. God, may you prepare our hearts for it. Thank you for helping us through this year. Lord, I'm ready for 08. I pray that you'll just bless us to start off with a great, great beginning. Help us, Lord, in this message tonight. And may the burden on our heart be presented in a way that's pleasing to you and speak to hearts here. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. one to lay at His feet. I hope you do too. It'll be a joyful occasion on that time. I want to speak tonight on the subject, everyone using one. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. What a shame. Everyone using one, not hiding one, not burying one, not sitting on one. Everyone using at least one. Dear Father, help me tonight, please. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the passage of Scripture. And may we apply it, Lord, in this day, in this hour, at this moment, to our very pressing need in our church. Help us tonight. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. I miss Sunday school and adult Bible class so badly I can't believe it. I knew I would miss it. I didn't know how much I would miss it. And I didn't know how badly our church needed it. But when you stop and think about it, you take away one feeding of the bulk of the people of God. You take away one feeding a week, and it's bound to affect a group of people over a period of time. You may think little of it, but friend, if the Word of God is taught with any kind of blessing of the Holy Ghost during that time, or that 45-minute time period for 52 Sundays in a row, and then you take that away for 52 Sundays, you can't help but see the effects of it in a negative sense. And I believe now for these 7 months of no Sunday school, I believe our church feels the effects of not having that Sunday school hour. And I am ready for it to begin. I believe we need it. Maybe you don't think so. Maybe you like coming at 10 o'clock and getting out at 11:20. It's been that way since April. It was supposed to be 11:10, but we're not pressed quite as much for time. And I see that it's getting later and later, so you better hope we start Sunday school pretty soon. But anyway, I am ready for it to start. We want to have a massive drive in the month of December to get everybody signed up and get involved in a Sunday school class or some service at that hour, 10 o'clock. Are we on track time-wise? That's asked me several times. Especially since this past week, we came by the 22nd, 23rd, 24th of October, which in 2 months will be December, and we're supposed to be done. We're supposed to be in what they call the punch list, that final week of walking around saying that needs to be straightened and that needs to be turned around and that needs to be just do something. It's supposed to be a real small thing, but, get it done. And then opening for January 2008, I walk around in that building. And I think to myself, I'm reminded of that old song, It Took a Miracle, amen? But maybe it will. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe they'll get in there and start shooting paint around. Some of you fellows that know construction and building better than I do, which is most of you, maybe it'll get done on time. Floor laid, painting, doors hung. It's supposed to, amen? And they keep smiling at me and saying, it'll be done. So I hope they're smiling come December 20th. Amen. But as soon as that building opens its doors, be it the first Sunday in January or if we have to postpone it for 2 or 3 weeks, as soon as that building opens its doors, we will begin the 10 o'clock hour as it used to be here at Faith Baptist Church. We're going to call it and advertise it in the area, Family Bible Hour. Family Bible Hour, a place for every member of your family. A place for every member of your family in the Family Bible Hour. Now, you cannot find the Sunday school ministry, if you will, in the Word of God. You can't find the Sunday school hour in the Word of God, but you can't find the bus ministry in the Word of God. But I don't think you would say either one of those ministries are not fruitful and effective today. You can't find it. But it began as a result of renewed interest in the Word of God. It began in the hearts of Welsh people over in Wales. And basically, the heart and soul behind it was a man by the name of Robert Raikes in 1780. Because there was twofold. There was a renewed interest in the Word of God on the part of saved people in Wales. And this was before the Welsh Revival. That happened in the 1800s under Evan Roberts and that great revival. Larry Harrison has a book on that. If you get a chance to buy it sometime, it's worth, I don't think it's over $5 or $6. And the book is well, well written and really interesting on the Welsh Revival. Now, that took place later. But 1780, Robert Raikes, the renewed interest in the Word of God on the part of saved people. And then hear this, as he traveled around Gloucester, he noticed, Gloucester. As he traveled around, he saw all the children running around the streets that did not attend church or Sunday school and church services, and it burdened his heart. And so in July of 1780, they had the first Sunday school. That was July of 1780. By the time of his death in 1811, that's 31 years. By the time of his death in 1811, there were 1.25 million children in Great Britain faithfully attending Sunday school every Sunday. 1.25 million in 31 years. And that did not take into consideration, that was about 25% of the entire population. And it did not take into consideration the teenagers and the adults. I think it did take the teenagers, the adults that were attending the Sunday schools. So you had, between teenagers and children, you had 1.25 million of them. After 31 years, boy, wouldn't that be something every 30 years to increase the number of kids attending Sunday school in America by 1.25 million? Man, that would be a blessing. All right? So that's how it all began. And that's where it started. Now, a Sunday school, then it came over, of course, to the States and so forth and so on. Sunday school could be one of those entities that Paul refers to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Hold your finger in Matthew 25. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll take just a second to look at this verse. Very interesting verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica, one of his favorite churches, along with Philippi. And he says in the second letter, verse 15 of chapter 2, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Notice that word tradition. The word tradition comes in our mind automatically. We toss it out as a bad word. Well, we're not supposed to build our churches on traditions of men. And there are some traditions of men that are not good. You shouldn't build any kind of faith or church or any kind of type of service for the Lord on those traditions. But there are some traditions that Paul told the church at Thessalonica to hold on to. He said, hold the traditions. Now watch this. Which ye have been taught. Watch what he said. Whether by word or our epistle. Now, the word epistle would be his letter. His letter that he wrote, the 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, the letters that he wrote to the church there in Thessalonica. He said, the things that I've written to you in our epistles, our letters, I want you to hold those. Now, folks, why wouldn't they hold those? Because those letters became a part of what? The canon of Scripture as we know it. Amen? 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they weren't just Paul's letters. They were inspired words of God in letter form that God just used the hand of Paul to put on paper, preserved for those of us in this day and age to read and profit from. So that's the epistle there. But then he said, whether by word, that would be what was said, or communicated, or passed down, or shared around from church to church or person to person. Paul said, hey church, there are some traditions that you need to hold on to. There are some traditions that you've been taught from the inspired words of God, the inspired letters that have been sent to you, the Word of God. And you need to hold on to those traditions. And then there are other traditions, maybe not a part of the inspired canon of Scripture, but they're traditions that are effective. They're traditions that are good. They're traditions that are useful. And they've been passed around word to word, mouth to mouth, communicated from person to person and church to church. And he said, hold on to those things. Hold on to them. Now back to Matthew 25. While I say that Sunday school could be viewed as one of those traditions that has been an effective tool for teaching the Word of God. D.L. Moody used it in the late 1700s up here in the city of Chicago and so forth and so on to get boys, the late 1800s in the city of Chicago to get boys and girls to church. And it wasn't just for the street kids. It was for the members of the church whose children attended faithfully. And it was also used as a tool to get kids involved in hearing the Word of God taught. And I don't know how you could argue against the effectiveness of the Sunday school hour. It's been an effective tool for building churches. Now, long before there were independent Baptist churches, there were Southern Baptist churches who used the Sunday school as an effective ministry to reach many people for Christ. And truth of the matter is, the independent Baptist churches that have really followed that Sunday school format have done very well at building churches. And I'm talking about where you have a teacher and maybe 6, 8, or 10 students. And if it gets more than that, you divide the class. And there's no more than maybe 10 or 12 students in a class. And if there's that many third and fourth grade boys or third grade girls, you divide it up and you keep it to about 6, 8, 10, 12 students. The independent Baptist churches who followed that format built some great, great churches using the Sunday school as a tool. It involves church membership. It involves the people. Look, folks. Say what you want to say about the church in this New Testament church age. I don't know how you argue against it, but the truth of the matter is, you need a place to serve God. Now, I'm not saying you can't serve God anywhere but the church. But I'm telling you, the church as it's designed in this day and age creates a lot of opportunities for God's people to serve the Lord. Sunday school is one of those things. Brother Caleb and I were talking about this the other day. We believe the area that's probably suffered the most without Sunday school is the enlistment and involvement and the growth of new converts, because that class that he taught, that new converts class, consistently averaged 20 to 30 people. Am I right, Brother Caleb? 20 to 30 adults, most of whom were being saved and brought in, saved in the services and encouraged to attend. And many, some of you sitting in this auditorium today started out in that class with Brother Caleb some years ago, and now you're part of the church. And I'm going to tell you something. We believe that area has hurt the most. We believe the discipleship class at 5:30 on Sunday nights has suffered because of the lack of the Sunday school hour at 10 a.m., getting the folks involved and getting them excited about coming back to the discipleship class at 5:30. It's an effective tool. It's an effective tool for building a church. It's an effective tool for teaching the Word of God. It's an effective tool for involving church people, church members, in some service for the Lord. And I repeat to you, I am ready for it. I'm ready for it. I miss it. And I need us to get ready, and we get ready for it here as the starting of January, hopefully. Hence the message tonight, entitled, excuse me, Everyone Using One. Everyone Using One. Now, Matthew 25 is the parable of the talents. I've got something in my throat, I'm sorry. Now, the talent, the word talent here is a word that signifies weight. Weight. And if you it's a certain weight. It could be a certain weight of gold. It could be a certain weight of silver. It could be a certain weight of brass. A certain weight. And according to the poundage of the weight, of course, the value of the material and so forth, then you determine your monetary value. I was down at Acme because I have a daughter that backed into the fence at the house last Sunday night. The fence that's been there for 16 years, amen. And it didn't just sprout up overnight, but she backed into the fence and knocked the mirror off the car and knocked it plumb off, hanging by the wires that, the electric, the power hanging by the flopping around. And I was mad. I was really mad. I mean, I was mad. I'm sorry. But, there's just some things you can't help. I was mad. You shouldn't get mad. Well, bless her heart, that girl, the sun is always shining in her world. And Dad will, I knocked the mirror off, Dad, and then the boyfriend steps in, I'll take care of it, it's no problem. I can get it fixed, it will be a big deal. I'm still waiting for the knight in shining armor to show up. Amen. And what, what she said during the week, Dad will take care of it. Dad will take care of it. And I did. I took care of it. What are you going to do? She's your daughter. And I don't know if she was proposing in marriage last Sunday night or what she was doing, but I don't know. But anyway. So, I drove it home from. You get mad, you don't think. I never should have let her drive it up north. She drove it up north. Didn't have it on 294. The thing was flopping. I mean, like a dead fish, just flopping around. And so I went down to Acme while we were waiting for a mirror, the fellow to retrieve a mirror. And it was $30 and a used mirror in 10 minutes, and it was fixed. And the knight in shining armor gets all the credit. Amen. He checked my oil. He checked my oil. And it's full, Dad. The reason it was full was because the previous Thursday, in the rain, I added a quart of oil to her car. Huh? You guys wait till your girl... I'm telling you, man. What was that? Oh, okay, so I'm at Acme. And here comes this man in. He's got a big old bundle. Right? He got a big old bundle of copper. I mean, a great big old bundle. And so he brought that in, and they took it back, and they weighed it, and they paid the man according to the amount of weight that was in the copper, what the copper was worth per pound. You know, and that's what the word talent is here. It's a measurement. It's a weight of some value based on whatever material or they would use, gold, silver, like I said before. Now, so that's the interpretation of the word. But the application, the word talent can be used for other things. It doesn't have to mean money for application purposes. So here this man's about to go on a long journey, and he called his servants, and the Bible says, and make the long story short, he delivered to the different servants, different amounts of talents. He gave to one man 5 talents. He gave to another man 2 talents. He gave another man 1 talent. Now, there were no unusual expectations placed on these servants. There were no expectations. He just said, fellas, he said, use it. Use it. And when I come, I want to receive that which I've given you with usury, with interest. I want you to put it to work. So there's no cruel or crazy expectations placed upon these men. Just take the talents and use them, put them to work. And when I come back, I want to find the talents invested in some investment. I want to find that. So he returns after his long journey. And the man to whom he'd given 5 talents, now he had 10. And the man to whom he had given 2 talents had now 4 to bring back to him. And then he called the man in that he'd given 1 talent, and the 1 talent man had taken his talent and buried it in the earth. And the Lord was, that man was not happy. And he was rebuked for his neglect of his talent. He offered up some measly excuse. And the Lord said, the owner, the man, it won't work. I gave you that talent to use, and you buried it, and you did nothing with it. Now, folks, it matters not how many talents we have. It matters not. That's not the issue. Some people are multifaceted when it comes to abilities, if you want to use that word. Some people are single-faceted when it comes to abilities. But everybody in the service of God has at least 1 talent, 1 ability. Everybody has at least 1. That's signified here by the talent, by that third servant to whom this man gave 1 talent. Now look, God is not a hard taskmaster. If you think serving God is hard, what you need to do, and I don't mean go out and do it, but serve the world, serve the devil for a while, then you'll find out where the hard taskmaster is. The Lord's not a hard taskmaster, not at all. But he's not looking for more than we are capable of, but he is looking for us to use what he has given us. The 5-talent man used it, and he came back with 10. And the 2-talent man used it, and he came back with 4. And when they did, each of those men got the same word of commendation from the owner. The 5-talent man did not receive 1 bit more commendation than the 2-talent man received. He said to both of them, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. They were commended for their faithfulness to invest or use the talents they were given. Now, here's what we're facing. Family Bible Hour, Sunday School, starts hopefully the first Sunday in January 2008. Hopefully that'll be the goal and open up the new year with that the resumption of that ministry. The bus ministry continues. The nursing home ministry continues. The adult mentally handicapped ministry continues. The choir and music ministry continues. Teen church begins again. And I'm looking forward to that. I think we've missed that somewhat in the bus ministry. Nurseries remain open and junior church restarts. And the bus kids look forward to junior church with Brother Don. They just love that. And he does a great job with the workers in there. Now, we must avoid having a handful of people filling all the spots that all of those ministries create. We can't do that. There's too much to be done. We need everyone to use at least one. We need everyone to use at least one. And I'm talking specifically adults right now. Although you teenagers, we couldn't get along without you in the bus ministry. You're such a blessing and a help. And I in the band, and be faithful to the band. And some of you have dropped out that used to play, get back in the band. And parents, take a little interest. Boy, there is a wonderful opportunity for your kids to serve God, learn to play a musical instrument, which is a fantastic thing. I'm 50 years old. I wish I could pick up an instrument and play it. And you kids, you don't have to have that regret someday. And there are people here who can teach the flute, teach the woodwinds. I imagine there might be somebody that could teach the brass instrument, the trumpet or two, percussion. We need, but so you teenagers, you're very, very helpful in the ministry of the church, as we said last Sunday. But I'm talking to the adults right now. I'm talking to those who staff these ministries. When the teenagers are sitting in the pew, when they're sitting in the Sunday school class, I'm talking about those of us who staff these spots. We need everyone to use at least one. Everyone using their one, if that's all you have, in some capacity. Now, at the 10 o'clock hour, we have, as is scheduled right now, 14 Sunday school classes. Sunbeam class. How many did you have over there today, Brother Steve? 48 people. 48. Can you imagine that? We never see that. And Lord willing, when we get that building open, they will be in that building on the first floor over there. We won't have to be paying Olivet $50 a week to rent one of their rooms. We'll have enough space for the Sunbeams to come right here. And I'll tell you what, if you've never seen that crowd of people, it'll warm your heart to see them come in. They love to color and sing, and they hear Bible stories. 46 or 48 over there in that group today. 14 Sunday school classes, the Sunbeams class, a junior church that requires five, six, seven workers, and then two nurseries that require three workers each at the 10 o'clock hour. That's all going at 10 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, we have eight classes and the two nurses. By the way, we have a nursing home service at 10 a.m., three out of four Sundays of the month over here at Bradley Royale on Highway 50 over here. Three out of four Sundays of the month. Brother Terry takes care of that, his family. And I think Tom, I don't know if Tom Fitzgerald still goes over there. And they still have services there on Tuesday night. All that's going on Sunday morning at the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hour. And then we have to step in and we have to help the Spanish just a little bit in a couple of places. If we don't step in and help the Spanish, then they got their ladies missing Sunday school and church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And you know that's not healthy. That's not healthy. So we, bottom line, we got a ton of openings. Man, we got 40, I estimate, to the best of my ability to count them, 40 spots at 10 a.m. that need to be filled. 40. Now, I know in some churches that's minimal. But, man, that's a lot of people. That's more than some churches have in church. We have 40 spots that need to be filled because we will not get away from the two adult rule in the kids. We can't get away from that. That's safe. That's safe for our... And by the way, it's a twofold safety net. It's not only safe for the kids, it's safe for the adults to have a witness. Because when it's one adult's word versus one child's word, you're done. Your goose is cooked. So it's a safety net. We cannot violate that. We have to, and it's unbelievable. Pressing on the church because of that. But there's 40 spots at 10 o'clock. 40. There are at least 20 spots at 11 a.m. And I'm not counting I can't remember if I counted the nurseries or not. 20, I think I did. 20 spots at 11 o'clock in the morning that need to be filled. Then you throw in choir, and you throw in ushers, and you throw in musicians, etc. There are a lot of spots to fill. Not to mention the bus routes. And then I'm not even mentioning, not even touching the hem of the garment about the 3 o'clock afternoon Sunday school. And when you start adding all these up, friend, it's unbelievable how many spots are available for people to step in and serve. Now look, not everyone can work in the bus ministry. I understand that. And I don't believe for these 17 years that it's been oppressive and cruel and mean spirit from the pulpit. And if you're not in the bus ministry, you're not a decent Christian. It hasn't been that way because some people simply can't do it. I thank God for the bus workers we have. And I think the bus ministry is a wonderful place to serve God. And I think if you want to do something for your heart, to really bring your heart warmth, and I mean, buddy, I mean, just move you, the bus ministry is a great place to serve. And thank God for the drivers and the workers and the captains and the people who make it happen. But not everybody can work in the bus ministry. We know that not all can sing in the choir. We know that. Amen. Yes, we know that. Not all can teach. Not all can teach. But everyone can use at least one. One ability. And the good thing about it is, folks, a lot of these spots are not up in front singing, up in front teaching. They're not really leadership positions. They're support and help. That's the kind of things that they are. Teachers in classrooms using the Word of God. Some can teach who cannot work bus routes. Now, some can teach who can't visit on Saturday or ride the bus on Sunday. But you can teach a Bible lesson and you've got a good testimony. And there are some requirements for Sunday school teachers. And there are some requirements for choir members. There are some requirements that you must meet. Many of you meet them. Many of those things are your convictions. You wouldn't change them if the church changed. In fact, if the church changed, you'd go looking for a church that upheld the same convictions and standards that you have, that you've made your own. Yeah. Now, sometimes people come to a church like this because of the convictions and standards over a period of time. They lose them. But they never would have come here had the church not had them to begin with. Never would have visited if they didn't know what the church stood for. So there are some requirements for those type things. Teachers using the Word of God. Helpers keeping attendance and keeping order and keeping those books. And who knows, God forbid that the day ever comes that we need an attendance book to put in a courtroom, to take to a courtroom and say, look, here's the record. God forbid that we ever face that day, but that's how important those records are. Helpers keeping attendance, keeping order. People singing. Men acting as ushers. There are many spots to fill. Some can teach who cannot work bus routes. Some can work bus routes who maybe wouldn't be good in front of a Sunday school class. Some can help who cannot teach. There are some who can drive a bus and teach, or teach and sing in the choir, or do some other double duty. There are many of you here who can double duty. Many of you. And we need you to do that. We need everybody to double duty who can. But friend, not everybody can double duty. Not everybody can. But everybody can use the one. Everybody can invest the one so that when the Lord returns, He at least finds all of us using however many abilities He's entrusted to us. When He comes, He'll find us using them. And that's what made the Lord happy with the 5-talent man and the 2-talent man. They used them, and when He returned, He could see the results of that use. And that's what made Him unhappy with the 1 man who buried his talent. Gave you a talent, all you did was sit on the pew with it. That's not good. That's not good. Everybody here has at least one ability that can be invested in the work of God somewhere. And don't tell me, you'll never sell me on the fact that one of the purposes of the New Testament church was to give God's people places and opportunities to use those abilities for the glory of God. We have some fine Sunday school teachers here. Now, Sunday school teacher, where would you teach if there were no church? If there were no church. We have some fine singers here. Where would you sing if there were no church? Some are innovative enough Some are, entrepreneurial enough to go out and create opportunities to serve God. Some are, but not many. Not many. Most folks need a place to serve. And that's why God gave us, one of the reasons why He gave us this New Testament church and this church age, to use those abilities and use those talents. And boy, as many folks as God has brought to this church over these years, I know God's brought people here with talent and ability to use to make this ministry function to its full potential to bring honor and glory to God. Everyone using one. The one thing we cannot afford is having people who could teach, could help, could sing, could serve, but are not using the one. Just not using it. And we the church can't afford that. God's work can't afford that. And friend, you can't afford that when Jesus comes. You can't. Now, I know what work schedules. I talk to men. There's not one Thursday morning that I don't get up at 4 a.m., but I don't think to myself to go to Providence Baptist College. I don't think to myself, for some men in our church, this is the normal time for them to get up and go to work every day. I know that. And consider that. I know work is demanding. But and sometimes the work schedule will not permit you to do things like bus ministry. But there are so many opportunities and places right here on Sunday, in this ministry, that allow you to use whatever talent. If it's just checking attendance, think about it. See, that's what I'd like to get away from. I'd like to get away from having to stick bus drivers, captains, and adult bus workers in Sunday school classes after they get off the bus checking attendance records and keeping order. They've been keeping order for an hour and a half already. But somebody else can slip in the 10 o'clock hour and sit there and help boys and girls in a Sunday school class. Listen to the teacher. Take them to the bathroom if need be. This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity we're presented with. An opportunity to serve and to use abilities that God gave us to use. And if there's anything that just, man, it gets on my heart, burdens me, it's when I see men and women double dipping and triple dipping and quadruple dipping just to fill spots. While some people take the ability that God's given and just sit on the pew. Now, we're always going to have people sitting. We know that. But my goodness, how many could be and should be involved, everyone using one. I want you to notice the excuse that the servant gave for digging, putting his talent in the earth and leaving. Look at what he said in verse number 25. Look at what he said beginning in verse number 24. Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. Fearful. I believe we have folks that could teach good Sunday school lessons, and you meet all the requirements of being a faithful Christian, and you are in agreement with what we teach and preach as far as dress and entertainment goes. I believe we have people who could be great Sunday school teachers, but you're scared. You're scared. Folks, listen to me. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to teach these kids classes. Let me tell you what you have to have. You have to be a decent Christian, and you have to just love those kids. Just love them. And come in there and be excited to see them and be ready to teach something. And I don't mean read off the lesson that you're handed. Take the time to it's incredible what some of our Sunday school teachers bring to the classroom. And maybe we have some that don't study a whole lot. But I'm telling you, we have some that put the time in. Boy, they come to Sunday school. I mean, buddy, my children have benefited, and it's not because I go to them and say, is your Sunday school class good? They have said to me, I like Brother so-and-so. I like Mrs. so-and-so because the Sunday school class is interesting and helpful. I believe we have more of those folks here. But you're scared. Look, folks, if God gave you the ability, if God has given you the talent, He will empower you to use it. He'll empower you to use it. And this is what I'm talking about. Everyone using one, God will help you if you will use it for His glory. Use it for His honor. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Now, you can like this or lump it. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know how pleased it makes our Heavenly Father when He has invested certain abilities and certain talents into His people, and those abilities and those talents are taken and used out in the world to make a good sum of money or to develop some kind of reputation within a certain company or corporation, but they're not used ever in the local New Testament church. Y'all listening tonight? We talk about not being able to say that I can't do that. I can't stand in front of people. Then we can go to work and take the very talent and ability that God has given us and we can use it to make money. I'm not against that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Don't isolate it to the secular. Don't isolate it to the monetary. If God gave it to you, if He invested it in you, He gave it to you to use for His in some fashion. You say, my work is not important to God. Absolutely, your work's important to God. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you something. He gave us talents and abilities to put to use for His glory and honor and His service to help people in the Lord through the ministry of a New Testament church. Everyone using one. Everyone using one. It is no accident, no coincidence, no mistake that God uses the physical body of a person to teach us about how a New Testament church operates. God is amazing. In His Word, He uses so many relationships and things that we are familiar with to teach us deep spiritual truth. Just like this morning, He uses the husband-wife relationship to teach us about our relationship to Him, Jesus Christ. He uses the physical body to teach us about their churches, how a church functions. He uses the body. This is one body. Okay? You have one body. And our bodies have many members. And for this body to fulfill its potential, I believe it needs every member that God created it with. They talk about taking tonsils out and taking gallbladders out, and they can take this out, and Brother Tom's going to have a kidney taken out, and you can still live and function. But I'll promise you, friend, I don't believe for one minute that God put those things in us and didn't have some design for them. I'm not against having your tonsils out if you need it, or your gallbladder. Had hers out this week. Not against that. Thank God you can live on without it. But I'm going to tell you, I can't believe that God in heaven designed this body as intricately as He designed it with something that's not necessary. Just takes up space. Do you believe that? Do you believe God just created a body with members that just take up space? There's no use for them. Ask Jennifer Griffey how important the little toe is. Yeah. I saw her limping around this morning and she had a sandal on because she couldn't get her... Looked at, she said, I broke my little toe. Looked down, it was all discolored and everything. The littlest toe on her foot causes a noticeable limp in her. Huh? You know that happens. Sure. Now listen, in the same analogy, if God, the Heavenly Father, the great designer and creator, intricately wouldn't design a body with some part that wasn't necessary, do you think He builds a church with parts that aren't necessary? I don't believe He does that. I believe every member is necessary. And I guess there are places to serve that are not like the ones I've mentioned this morning. There are things to do, there are things this morning that are unseen, that nobody ever sees, that are just as important as some of the spots I'm talking about. But God put people here with talents and abilities to use, to make this body help this body reach its full potential. I've said before, that dear father-in-law out there in Iowa, and thank you for asking about John. Many of you have asked about John. How's your father-in-law? You know, he has good days and bad days. He cries some days. He had a tough week. It was a month since the Lord took Mom to heaven this Saturday, yesterday. It's tough on him. I've never known John.
I didn't know him when he had his right arm. That goes way back. And I forget what year he lost his arm in the auger, in the shelling machine. He ran three corn shelling machines. And the day after Christmas, I know it was December 26th. I don't know what year. December 26th, the day after Christmas, shelling corn. And he lost his arm in the corn sheller. And so for all the years that I've known him, going back now to 1977 and beyond that, he's had that artificial arm with that hook, that steel hook. Oh, I've seen that man work like crazy with that steel hook. He farmed, raised hogs, raised turkeys, did all the work that requires, ground feed, did the harvest, the planting and the harvesting of the crops, the soybeans and the corn, sold feed. He worked like many of you men work, from sun up to sundown, and sometimes past sundown. I can remember Brian going to his place sometimes for some reason at 9:30 or 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, and John would be out grinding feed, 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday night, so he wouldn't have to do it on Sunday morning, grinding feed for the hogs. Work, 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 work. I mean, he was a bus captain. And had that hook arm and used to get on that bus and sing songs. And he'd sing, lead those kids. He'd pound the ceiling of that bus. And you could tell if you were on a bus that John Christner was the bus captain of, because all it had dents in the ceiling. Amen. He pounded it, pounded that metal with that hook arm. You and I have feeling. We have nerves in our. If I'm gonna smack Brother Don on the back, Brother Don, good to see you. I know just about how hard to do that without hurting him. Well, a hook has no nerves. So when he greets you, hey, how you doing? Poof. Before you hit me, I was better. Oh, man. Every grandchild has gone into spasms the first time they noticed that hook. Sitting on grandpa's lap, cuddling up, and all of a sudden, I forget how, you know, whatever age it is, every grandchild. You know, of course, he opens it and closes it, you know, and takes it toward him. Opens it and closes it. Here it comes, this big claw, you know. People don't have claws. Animals have claws. There it comes. I've seen him do so much until it came. He could do anything until it came time to button this button. And he can't do it. Brother Jack, I don't suppose you can button that button, can you? Maybe you can't. Oh, you do? Okay. Brother Jack can do it, yeah. Oh, Brother John. So, Nellie goes to heaven, and he has nobody now to button that button. So my wife took Velcro and took his dress shirts and sewed some Velcro both sides of the name of the little thing so he can just take the Velcro strips and, you know, put his shirt together. I don't know what he does for his collar, his cuff. On this, over here. He can do this one. Now, a body that has that, these members, can reach its full potential of buttoning this. But when you don't have those members, there's something you're missing. The body isn't reaching its full potential. You could do a lot. But the body's not reaching its full potential. I want to tell you something. When a member of a New Testament church has buried their talent in the earth, that body cannot reach its full potential. Can't do it. It can do a lot. Thank God for that. But it can't reach its full potential. We need to is every one using the one. At least the one. And then those of you folks that are multi-talented, the twos and the fives, and can do the double duty and the triple duty. But I don't want to see it be too many. I want those folks to be able to enjoy a Sunday school class after they've ridden on a bus route. Maybe they want to teach and they like to teach after driving a bus. That's fine. But I just hate the thought of driving a bus route or working a bus route, singing in the choir, and teaching a class and sitting as a helper and then teaching a class. We got too many talented people to have just two or three people having to double dip and triple dip and quadruple dip. We got too many people for that. We got a lot of spots. We got a lot of people that have at least one talent. And we need everyone using at least one. Everyone using at least one. And so we may be calling, we're going to be plugging in names for Sunday school classes and helpers and teachers and plugging in names. And we're going to sit down, Brother Caleb and I, over the next two or three weeks, and we're going to try to avoid the four, five, and six responsibilities. Taking into consideration the choir and other things. We may call on you. Hey, we have confidence in you. We have faith in you. We trust you to fill this spot. And friend, I hope that you'll be willing. And I hope that you won't let fear stop you. And I hope that you'll pray about it. And if you don't get called, call Brother Caleb or myself and say, look, if you have an opening that you think I could work in, plug me in. That's what we need. Everyone using. It's not a comparison thing, folks. It's not a measuring game. You know, these educable slow adults, I thank God for the Harolds and the Steves and the Wendys and the Dan and the Ellens. I want to tell you, not everybody can do that. It takes some real patience. It takes some real patience. It's not a comparison. Nobody is better than anybody else because some can do things that others can't do. It's just taking what... We didn't decide this. God decided it. When He passed it out, when He handed them down to us, it's just up to us to use it. Use it and not bury it. Everyone using one. You ladies in the nursery, God bless you. All ladies that work the nursery, God bless you. That is, sometimes I hear the joyful noise from across the hallway there. And I wonder, how do we ever design the pastor's office to be across the hall from the nursery? But we did. So I just rejoice. God bless you, ladies. That's what we don't need, is folks sitting down. That's what we don't need. Using that ability and that talent. Using it and being faithful at it. Being faithful at it. Choir, in, out, show up, miss, show up. Boy, that's unfaithful. I said, that's unfaithful. Being faithful at it. Faithfully using what God has given you to use. Everyone using one. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention. Dear God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the great design of the church. Thank you for the great design of the physical body and the analogy and the illustration, how that every member is vital. I don't believe you brought anybody here, Lord, just to take up space. God, I pray that you'll give us a renewed interest in serving you. And Lord, kindle a fire. Stir hearts. Lord, stir an interest. Rekindle an interest in some to find some capacity for service. If it's a choir song, if it's a musical instrument, if it's to help keep attendance, if it's to visit a bus route, if it's to work as a teacher or change a diaper in the nursery. We've got so many spots. And Lord, so much to do and so little time to do it. God, please, help us to occupy until you come. Help us to. Please, Lord, may there be few casualties of folks who bury the talent. Help us to use it for your honor and glory as long as you give us life and breath and health until you come. We'll thank you for that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand tonight? Let me ask the Lord to bless your heart and draw you to Christ. Anybody? Anybody not baptized in obedience to command of the Lord Jesus? Anybody not baptized? I see a small child's hand, a couple of them. God bless you for your interest in that. Visit with your dad and mom about it. Then talk to them. How many say, Brother Angel, I hear the message tonight, everyone using one. And you know, maybe you don't know what that talent is. Maybe you do. But you want to use it for His honor and glory. Folks, I want to tell you, we have to keep pressing. Keep pressing. Occupy till I come. Till I come. Till I come. Till I come. I don't know when He's coming, but I know what I got to do until He does come. Occupy. You got a talent. Everyone using at least one for His honor and glory. Think about it. Think about it. Let's be busy serving until He comes. My dear Father, bless the message tonight. Meet the need of our church as we get ready to move forward and go back to that special, important hour. And then God bless our church. And Lord, help us these remaining few weeks. I feel like we've missed and suffered from not having that Bible lesson on Sunday morning. But help us, God, to press on and be faithful until we get back at it. Lord, bless the ministry here. It's not about being big. It's about serving You. It's about having our heart in it. It's about, Lord, occupying until You come, being faithful at it, so that when You come, You find us using what You've given us. God, please, make that message clear tonight to Your dear people. I'll thank You for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. No one is looking. Ladies, please, a song of invitation. Would you come tonight? As the Lord speaks to hearts, You come. Everyone using one. That's the difference. At least one.